thank God football starts tonight, and thank God I have an alcoholic beverage in front of me, because the Pittsburgh Pirates may have just had the worst trade deadline in the history of Pittsburgh sports. A classic case for your Buccos. And no, you couldn't have expected the returns to be fantastic on these players. I understand that. And we will break down all of the moves they made and did not make over the course of this next hour or so. But another year of disappointment at the trade deadline from Ben Cherington and his folks in the front office. Donnie Chedrick with you on 93.7 The Fan tonight. We are live at Sports and Social Steel City on the second floor here at Live Casino in Greensburg. Stop out, enjoy an ice-cold Miller Lite. Training camp coverage on 93.7 The Fan is presented by Smale Kia in Greensburg and brought to you by Miller Lite, Schleideck, and New Flow Men's Health. So the Pirates making a handful of trades today, but most of them not making much sense at all. They trade David Bednar. That was their big ticket item that went out the door. He is now a member of the New York Yankees. They also traded Bailey Falter, a left-handed pitcher that had years of control left on his contract. They then traded Taylor Rogers to the Cubs right after acquiring him from the Reds just 24 hours ago. None of these moves look good in terms of their return. And I want to get your reaction out there at 412-928-9370. Joel Nelson back behind the glass in Green Tree. He is ready to field and screen the calls. And Joel, if we get any breaking Pirates news coming down in these next couple of minutes, don't hesitate to get in my ear. So we will start with the David Bednar move. Because that was the first that the Pirates made earlier today. He goes to the New York Yankees. They get Rafael Flores. That is the big return for them. The eighth prospect in the Yankee system, a first baseman slash catcher. The 24-year-old this year, mostly in double-A ball, hitting .279, an OPS of .826. Does have 16 home runs, 60 runs batted in. Those numbers look good. But he's 24 years old, and he just got to the AAA level of the game. He has played a whopping 10 games in AAA. They also get Edgleen Perez, the 14th-ranked prospect in the Yankee system, another first baseman slash catcher. He is just 19. He's only an A-ball, and he's hitting .209. And then Brian Sanchez, an outfielder that's not even in the Yankees' top 30, who is 21 years old with an OPS of .811. Again, in A ball. It feels like they got at most a potential catcher of the future here, and that is the absolute best case scenario, and I don't think that is going to end up being what happens. With Flores, yeah, the numbers look okay in double A. He still has to play multiple levels before he can prove himself. He will get tested heavily in AAA, and then we will see what happens once he eventually reaches the major leagues. So they traded David Bednar, a multi-time all-star closer who, yeah, he wasn't going to get you Aaron Judge or anything like that in return, but you saw the haul that Mason Miller, a local product from Bethel Park, got earlier today. Now, he has youth on Bednar. He also has years of control on Bednar, but you thought, okay, maybe the Pirates can get something decent for the closer from Mars. That's not the case. They get back a catcher who, a first baseman slash catcher, who might be in the starting lineup at some point next season. And now with a boatload of catchers on your roster, you don't know really what direction you want to go in with this player. And then you got really nothing else. You can say you got lottery tickets with the other two guys, but I wouldn't say I feel good about a player hitting .209 in A-ball. I wouldn't say I feel great about somebody who's already 21 just playing in A-ball right now in the form of Brian Sanchez, an outfielder who wasn't even in the Yankees' top 30. Flores will enter the Pirates system. He will be outside of their top 10 when MLB Pipeline redoes the prospect list. So the Bednar one, a failure. The next one was Bailey Falter. That one happened about a half hour ago, getting traded to Kansas City. Falter, a lefty with years of return or years of on his contract. What type of return would they get for him? Another lackluster one. Evan Sisk, a left-handed pitcher, is what they get there. Right now he is in the Kansas City bullpen. He has pitched a total of 5 innings of Major League Baseball. And then Callan Moss, a 21-year-old who is not in the Kansas City top 30, a 790 OPS in high A ball. So you get back-to-back bad moves made by Ben Cherington. And then they trade Rogers, who they just got yesterday from the Cincinnati Reds in that key Brian Hayes deal. They flip Rogers to the Cubs, and they get Ivan Brethauer in return. That looks like a better trade than the first two that I mentioned. That's just how bad the Bednar and Falter trades were. And going back over the course of this entire trade deadline, I think the Brian Hayes trade is the best one, and I did not think I would be telling myself that around 6:10, just 10 minutes post-trade deadline on the final day of July here in 2025, but here we are, because the Pirates were able to move Key Brian Hayes, they get Taylor Rogers, they get Sammy Schifura, who is a promising player that was in the Red system, speedy player, 4 home runs, but he had 18 doubles, he had 9 triples at their double-A level. That feels like they actually got an overpay for Key Brian Hayes, and they got underpaid on everybody else. This was another failure for Ben Cherington at the trade deadline. And I go light on him given what happened last season. Last year at the trade deadline, I didn't think it was horrific. Now, it ended up being bad. They get good play, decent play out of Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, but again, he's just their 9 hitter. He's a decent singles and doubles guy, nothing more. He can be a utility man defensively. Then they get Brian De La Cruz, who promptly forgets how to hit a baseball when the Pirates get him in their clubhouse. The only thing that makes those trades easier to swallow is that the guys they gave up have done much of nothing. But I do want to get the pulse of the people on this at 412-928-9370. Just how you feel off the cuff about these Pirates moves at the deadline. I can't imagine too many people are happy with how things went for Ben Cherington and company over the last day or so. We will start with John all the way in Louisiana. What's going on, John? John, Joel?
No, he's still there.
All right, John, we're skipping you. JR and Apollo, what's up, JR?
So I listen to a lot of your shows, the AM, the Sometime Pomp and Bob show, and the PM team. And all I heard was they're going to trade from a position of power. And our position of power was David Bednar for minor leaguers. Our position of power was everybody else for a bag of popcorn. That's really, really where this organization is. It's infuriating that, oh my God, we assume we're going to get so much better for David Bednar because some kid from, I'm sorry, Waynesburg, is that where he's from? Went to the whoever and he got a boatload. But they have nothing. There's only one person that we can trade from position of power on, and that is Mr. Skeens. And you know what? If you trade that, you might as well burn the stadium down.
Yeah, and they weren't going to do that. I appreciate the call. JR, I mean, the Bednar trade, it just looks worse and worse, I think, as you dig deeper into what the Pirates got back, because you maybe got a guy who can play at the major league level, maybe. And then you have two guys that probably can't. You have somebody else who will probably never even get there in the form of Sanchez. And Paul Skeens was and should have been untouchable, so I think the Pirates did the right move there. But another weird thing that was not done at this deadline, I thought it was a guarantee that 3 guys would go. Andrew Heaney, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, Tommy Pham. Guess who is still on the Pirates roster? All 3 of them. I thought that was an easy thing to move off from because you just saw it year after year after year. somebody would end up taking one of those guys. Tommy Pham's been their best player for the last month and a half. Andrew Heaney, okay, the numbers are not as good as they were early in the season, but he's a left-handed veteran pitcher. Teams always go after that at the deadline, no matter how poorly the guy may be pitching. And IKF is somebody good to throw on a playoff roster because he can play anywhere, and he will just give you professional at-bats at the bottom of the lineup. 412-928-9370. Ben is next. What's up, Ben?
Hey, Don. I was going to try and call in earlier about the David Bednar trade, but then Bailey Falter dropped, and I actively yelled. That's how bad I thought that trade was. So instead of saying whatever, you know, everybody's been saying all day long, I'm going to speak directly to Ben Sherrington right now. That was horrible. I can't imagine how it feels to be the laughingstock of a major metropolitan center like Pittsburgh. Mr. Sherrington, you have failed us so badly, and it just hurts, and it's so frustrating being a Pirates fan. I'm sorry, Dom, but that's the way I feel. Thank you.
Yeah, Ben, I mean, I appreciate the call. I think you speak for a lot of people there. It grows more and more frustrating, really, by the day to be a fan of this organization, because they go into, I would have rather them done very little than to see the moves that they made, because it really does feel like they made a couple of these moves just to do it, just to make these moves. The only one I actually feel good about, and it's very predictable what could end up happening here, but the one I feel best about is Ke'Bryan Hayes going to the Reds. That shouldn't be the case. And we all know what's about to happen. Ke'Bryan Hayes will go to Cincinnati. He will continue to play an elite level of third base, and he will then become one of the best hitters in the National League. That would just be way too predictable. 412-928-9370. Joel, what's this one? The pencil guy? What am I supposed to call this guy? Hello? Don't what do we got, pencil guy?
Offensively, the pencil guy.
What do you got?
Do you not feel like Sherrington is fighting for his job?
Do I feel that way? He doesn't act like it.
Like, right now, I feel like he is selling what he needs to sell. But I'm going to tell you, during your show, you're going to see more trades come across.
And?
You're going to see Pham gone. You're going to see Haney gone. If not, he deserves fired tomorrow.
So which guys do you think he'll get rid of here that haven't already been
Pham,
rid of?
Pham, Haney, and guess what? Bart, too. I mean, why are we stacking up on catchers whenever Bart is there? Why are we doing that?
I wish I had an answer for you, and thanks for the call. I don't have an answer for a lot of the things they do, because a lot of the things they do not make a lot of sense. They felt like they traded Bailey Falter just to trade him. You would have expected a left-hander that has shown that he can play some pretty good baseball, can be put in the back end of a playoff rotation, and has multiple years of control left. You would have expected that guy to garner a better return than a dude who has thrown five innings of Major League Baseball and a first base prospect that's not even in Kansas City's top 30. But they failed to do that. Ben Sherrington yet again failed to get something done that actually makes things worthwhile for the Pirates. It's unbelievably frustrating as a fan, because even when your team is a seller, you go into a day like this and a time of the year like this, and you have some hope that, okay, they will sell off some assets, they could get a potential promising return, and if you get rid of one of your big ticket items, the return could be juicy enough to set you up for the future. I don't feel like they did that with any of these. Not one of them. 412-928-9370. Jake is in Shadyside. What's up, Jake?
Hey, Donnie. I just wanted to just hear me out real quick. The Bailey Falter trade sucked. We know that, right? But you know what the most damning part about it is? He was a left-handed pitcher and a legit good left-handed pitcher. He traded away Solomito in the Spencer Horowitz trade. And what do we have in the minors right now? We have all right-handed pitchers at every single level. Are they good prospects? Yeah, they're all right-handed. The only one we have that's even notable is Hunter Barco. And, I hope he does well, but that's all we got. That's why that trade made zero sense. If you wanted to get rid of any of the other right-handed pitchers we have right now, I would have understood it. That's why the Mitch one, I don't want to see Mitch gone, but it would have made a little bit of sense, 100%. But you just screwed us, basically, for the next, 4 to 5 years, because we just drafted another right-hander with our first-round pick, so it's not like we're getting one anytime soon.
Jake, I appreciate the call. Just a quick correction there. They did not trade Anthony Solomito in the Spencer Horowitz deal, so they do fortunately still have him. He is in Double-A. He's their 15th overall prospect. And then a little further up the list, you mentioned Hunter Barco, who is their third overall guy. And he is the 72nd overall prospect in all of baseball. 412-928-9370. Let's go to Jim and Shaler. What's up, Jim?
Hey, Donnie. How you doing, buddy?
What's going on? What do you got?
So, hey, I was talking to a friend of mine today. This was a big day for the Pirates. All Sheraton was talking about was getting bats. So disappointed, especially trading Faulkner. I mean, that was out of nowhere. Nobody expected that. Like we were talking about this morning, if they don't have good trade deals, like for Bedard, for Keller, you know what? You got the winter meetings to do this to get it done right. He just threw these guys away and just put the Pirates organization behind even farther, because they're not going to go out and spend money next year. I don't even know how many good free agents are available next year to fill some of these positions up to help this team out next year. So you're probably talking about 2 or 3 years down the road and Skene's gone. So it's a bad day in Pirate baseball, Donnie. Have a good night, man.
Yeah, Jim, I think you bring up a good point there. Some of the guys that they acquire, they're not going to be players that help them out really anytime soon. I think at one point, up until the Falter and Rogers trades at the end, they had acquired five prospects, and I think four of them were still in single A. How does that help the Pirates at all in what we think is the window that they have with Paul Skenes? Because let's face facts here. If they can't get anything done with that guy, they're never going to do it. Because they will never have a player on their roster. They will never have a pitcher as good as Paul Skenes. So the big goal going into this deadline was, okay, we will sell off some of these assets that we have, and we will get in return guys that are either already in the majors or very close to being in the majors, guys that can help us out very soon. If you want to argue that, okay, maybe Rafael Flores does that for you, he just started in Triple-A. Just started there. He's played 10 games at the Triple-A level in the Yankees system. So maybe one guy, Stafura in the Hayes trade, he still has a ways to go. Some of these guys still have several levels to play up before they hit Major League Baseball. So they did nothing to help themselves out for the here and now or even in the near future like they told us the plan would be. 412-928-9370. Joel, do we still have Chuck? Is Chuck on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's up, here. Chuck? What do you got, buddy?
Well, Donnie, I called the previous show, and I said it about as quickly as you correctly as you can say it. They get F for the trade deadline for me. And after this you know, after your show, on your show, after the Falter trade, they get capital F. Where are the major league ball players that we're supposed to get? You know, if this is the overture, I sure don't want to hear the author. If this is what, you know, we got nothing but more junk. That's all we got. And we gave away the best defensive third baseman, an all-star closer, and a left-handed pitcher who was really good at PNC Park. And we got this. I'm just afraid. The grains in the sand dial are going to be slipping away. And if we don't win with Paul Skeens around here, I'll put it to you this way. If Paul Skeens leaves and there's no championship, the Pirates are not going to be much more relevant than the Pittsburgh Maulers were. Sorry. Bye-bye.
Chuck, that was a great call, as always. I mean, I don't know how anybody could give them any sort of passing grade. So, I mean, if we're going to have the godfather of Pirates fandom call in here and say the Pirates get an F, I think it's kind of hard to argue because it just does not feel like they got anything of use in return for me. Flores is just let's hope that he continues to hit in AAA and in the majors like he did in AA. Stafura, kind of the same thing. But, I mean, how many of these prospects can you get excited about? Because you know what else hurts as Pirates fans, people who have had to follow this team now for years, for the last 30-plus, with the exception of 3 years in the 2010s. It's always prospects in return, and a few of them have gotten through the cracks, and they have paid off, but this doesn't feel like it'll be a time that we look back on and think, yeah, they just got some players that will change the trajectory of Pirates baseball. Maybe I'm just being too negative on it. Maybe somebody can talk me out of it. We'll see. 412-928-9370. Tyler is in Springdale. What's up, Tyler?
Yeah, I just kind of want to, you know, say how excited I am that we didn't trade IKF, Heaney, or Pham so we can go on this wild card run in August.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me at all that those three guys are still here. I thought that would have been the easy pick, Tyler, those three that would have been traded.
I mean, what value does it bring the team to have them here? I mean, if you're going to trade anybody, I mean, they traded away the guys that had years of control and they kept the rentals. I mean, they're not even saving on salary by keeping IKF and Heaney or Pham. I mean, if they did anything today, I mean, they didn't get any value with any of the prospects that they traded, you know, whether it's in 2042 or in 2026. I mean, there's no value there. The only thing that they did today was trim payroll, and then they don't even trade away their rentals to get more prospects. I mean, I'm starting to think a lot more about the Leafs in 2031 at PNC Park. I mean, this seems intentionally bad. I mean, it's legitimately hard to wrap my mind around how the rent. I mean, that's what they've done all 6 years of Ben Cherington, at least trade away the rentals. I mean, that makes sense. Whether you get scrap minor leaguers or whatever, I mean, the
right.
Season's toast. Like, I mean, honestly, like, you sit here and you look at this trade deadline, and I mean, I thought that it was silly to say that you could fire Ben Cherington, you know, at 6:02 on July 31st. But, I mean, what case is there to be made, even in the most optimistic of terms of what happened here? I mean, like, you see Noah Hyles tweeting out that, like, Bailey Falter is a non-tender candidate for next year. What is he going to make, $5 million? Like, I mean, I hate to be hyperbolic about the whole thing, but, I mean, it really does feel like this was intentional. Like, this was like a middle finger out the door from Ben Cherington. I mean,
yeah, man, that honestly, that's a good call because we we have this belief that, okay, well, this will be it for Ben Cherington. This will be his final trade deadline. So maybe that was his intention here of, okay, I already know within this building that it'll be it for me. I'm going to set these guys up as little as possible in the future.
Yeah, I mean, and I hate to put malice onto the guy, you know, and say that, like, you know, he's trying to trash the franchise. I mean, I honestly didn't believe that until today, even though I thought that he should have been fired whenever Derek Shelton was fired. But, I mean, when you trade away Bailey Falter, who has a similar amount of years of control left to Mitch Keller, and Mitch Keller is the one that's going to make $15 and $17 and $20 million or whatever it is over the next 3 years, and you're not going to trim that payroll, so you're not going to free up any money to actually sign a legitimate bat in the offseason, which was supposed to be kind of the whole point of trading Hayes, of trading Bednar, of trading him. And you trade away Falter, who's going to be like who's a cheap player for you, who's a cheap left-handed starter for you, and now Heaney's gone. You know, so now there's no left-handed starters, and you have to pay Keller. Like, I mean, like, is he tired? Did he not get enough sleep? Like, what is Sherrington doing?
Yeah, man, it's brutal. I appreciate the call, Tyler. I mean, this really just does feel like the worst trade deadline in the history of Pittsburgh sports, and that's saying something because the Pirates have had a lot of instances where they are sellers, but it just feels like they gave us nothing to be hopeful for. So, I mean, if somebody out there wants to try to bring up the mood, they can, 412-928-9370. That's the number to join the conversation. Let's keep loading them up. Some good calls there. Reacting to the Pirates trade deadline here in 2025, the lackluster moves that were made by Ben Cherington today. You can also hit us up on the fan text line, which is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Pretty loaded up show. We're going to take more of your calls coming up next. We have Hunter Homestek from 24/7 Fighting. He will join us in the 7 o'clock hour. Jeff Hathorn will join at 8 o'clock. Noah Hiles will help recap this trade deadline at 8:30. And then Alan Saunders will stop in on site at 9 p.m. We are hanging out at Sports and Social Steel City on the second floor of Live Casino here in Greensburg on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. It is Thursday. That means 7-7-7 wing night at Sports and Social Steel City at Live Casino. That's where we are on 93.7, The Fan. 7 wings for $7 starting at 7 p.m., so about 20 minutes away from that. The wings, fresh, never frozen, great flavors, homemade seasonings. Wings come with homemade ranch or blue cheese, and they go great paired with a cold Miller Lite. The Pirates may have just pulled off the worst trade deadline in the history of Pittsburgh sports. We are reacting to that at 412-928-9370. Donnie Chedrick with you on the fan tonight. Joel Nelson is behind the glass back in Green Tree, and there are people that want to react. The Pirates trading David Bednar, trading Bailey Falter, as well as Taylor Rogers, who they acquired just yesterday in the Key Brian Hayes deal. So they were busy at the deadline, but did not make some of the moves that you may have expected. No Andrew Heaney on the move. No IKF on the move. No Tommy Pham on the move. 412-928-9370. Ben is in Uniontown. What's going on, Ben?
Hey, what's up, Donnie? You know, I'm pretty disgusted with all the trades, too. You there?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to be.
Okay. I thought we lost contact there. But, you know, this is what I don't understand, okay? We're trading some pretty good ball players away. Okay? KB, he's a great fielder. He's a gold glover and stuff like that. Yeah, I wish he could hit a little bit more consistently than what he does. You know, two good pitchers. One is an all-star pitcher and stuff like that. And here's what has me frustrated. What did we get back? Nothing
worthwhile.
Nothing worthwhile. a couple maybe mediocre pitchers and a bunch of, you know, a bunch of quote unquote prospects. You know, KB, you know, we, a mediocre pitcher that we traded away anyway, and then a prospect at shortstop. How many shortstops do we have in our system? A half a dozen? Do we need that? No. You know, we need hitters. We need people that are going to drive runs in. If you stop and think about it, look at all the close games we've had this year. 1-0 games, 2-0 games, 2-1 games, 3-2 games, 3-1 games and stuff like that. Why is that? That's because of our great pitching staff that we have. You get some hitters, you get some batters that are going to drive runs in, you score 4 or 5 runs a game and stuff like that, and you're going to have a big turnaround, 15, 20 games over 162-game season, you know, 15 or 20 games to the plus, 15 or 20 games away from the minus, that's a big difference, Donnie. You're in the playoffs. You're putting 30,000 people in the stands every night because you have an exciting game, team to put on the field, you know?
Yeah, Ben, I think it's a good call.
Yeah, I just don't understand. You know, I don't understand at all.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Ben. I mean, they needed to do something to help load up with bats at this deadline, and I understand that you're not going to get everybody's top guy, and you're not going to just load up with top 100 players, but it just feels pretty empty to me what they got in return. Flores, he's the Yankees' eighth-ranked prospect. He's done a lot of his damage this year in Double-A, you know, so far just a cup of coffee in Triple-A. Okay, I mean, we'll see how his game can translate to the higher levels. We'll see how he reacts to the pitching that he's about to see. But it seems like the people that are very tuned in with baseball, Travis Sawchick, who used to write in this city, he knows a thing or two about the game. He thinks that Flores is going to be challenged greatly at the Triple-A level, and he will need to adjust how he goes about things at the plate. And he needs to work on his defense. So, like, where it's not even like what they pulled in has some sort of elite trait on either side of the game. It just feels very, very hollow, very empty to me. And you know, we've had callers say it. I've seen a few people on social media say it, that it feels like a bit of a slap in the face from the front office to the fans, how they treated this trade deadline, and it's kind of difficult to argue that. 412-928-9370. Rick is in Denora. What's going on, Rick?
Hi. Hey, I only got one thing to say about Falter being traded to Kansas City. I'm just surprised Terrington didn't get Frazier back. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I mean, that's not even one that I'm super upset about. You go back to that Frazier trade that happened a couple of weeks ago. Given the return there, you at least got a Triple-A hitter who, yeah, he's 28 years old. He has yet to make his major league debut, but the kid has some pop, and he's at least close to playing in the majors. If you look at this entire period, like the entire month where the Pirates made deals, we might be looking back and thinking that the Adam Frazier trade of all of them looks like the best one. 412-928-9370. Carl is next. What's up, Carl?
Hey, Donnie. How you doing?
Good, man. What do you got?
Good. So, you know, just like I'm going to pull something here from Scottie Scheffler.
Okay.
You know, he says if he wins the majors or wins a championship, it's going to feel good for about 2 minutes. And the problem with, you know, people in society anymore, with everyone so sports-driven, and, you know, if you win a World Series, it's going to feel good for a couple hours, and then it's done. So as long as the fans keep showing up and the owners keep turning a profit, it's entertainment for people to come watch, and nothing's going to change until the owner stops making money. And that's the bottom line.
Yeah, man, I appreciate the call. I mean, he's going to keep making money hand over fist just with the way the you know current system is set up. And the players, certainly, you may have seen the report last week where Bryce Harper had the little standoff with Rob Manfred, the commissioner of the game, about the idea of a salary cap, so the players don't want it. That would be one of the only things that really helps out Pirates baseball. That and expanding the playoff even more than you already have, because that's just about the only thing that gives Pittsburgh a chance at this point to get in. Something else that makes me curious, because we do have to think this way a little bit, because the guy is just that good. I would love to know what Paul Skenes thinks after this trade deadline. I mean, he can't be very happy with what the Pirates just did. They didn't come away with anybody that's going to help while he's still in town. They're going to have the guy here for what? Two or three more seasons? I think three if we're lucky. Tell me one of these guys, maybe Flores, that will be any sort of contributor while Paul Skenes is wearing a Pirates uniform. They did nothing over the course of the last 48 hours that helps out while they have a golden ticket on their roster. 412-928-9370. Ethan is next. What's going on, Ethan?
Hey, Donnie. Thank you for taking my call. I'll be positive before I become a real Debbie Downer. I'll start by ranking my favorite fan host. I'll go number one, Adam Crowley. Number two, Donnie Football, the producer. Number three, I do love intern Dom. But get Debbie Downer time. Yeah, those are my personal. But I'll be Debbie Downer. All I've heard for the last month on this station is they are going to trade IKF, Tommy Pham, and Andrew Heaney. That was said so many times by every time slot. And guess what? They didn't trade any of them. It was the wrong take. So when I called in last Friday and I suggested to Jason Mackey, hosting for Joe Starkey, I said they should trade Connor Griffin. And I got laughed at. Well, guess who's laughing now? Why are we trading actual talent and control for prospects and teenagers when we have the number one prospect in baseball? The number one. Why do we need more prospects?
Well, Ethan, here's all I'll say about that.
As good as gone. It's basically the Connor Griffin era. The Pirates and Bob Nutting already know this. They're planning and prepping for all these young kids. When Paul Skenes get traded, the fan base is already mad. They're going to be even more angry. And when that happens, he needs to have an ace in his cards, and he's going to bring up Connor Griffin and make us all try to forget about it. They are not a serious organization. I canceled my Sportsnet Pittsburgh subscription. I only go to the games to get the bobbleheads. I won't even do that now. I won't even buy a ticket for $50 to wait 4 hours on the Clemente Bridge to get a bobblehead. I'll just buy it on eBay. I won't even follow the game. It's a joke.
I appreciate the call. I appreciate the passion there as well. He came at you on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service. That is Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Now, I don't know if Ethan was 110% serious about the Connor Griffin thing. That's one of the dudes that's not on the major league roster that I would not touch, because he is the only, and I mean the only, position player that is in the Pirates pipeline that gives me any sort of hope. The only one. Termar Johnson's not giving me any sort of hope. He's playing mediocre ball in Double A. Nick York, I mean, he's 23, is in Triple A, and he may not even break through now since they held on to most of the guys they should have gotten rid of. I don't really think he moves the needle much for me. The guy that they acquired in the Quinn Priester trade last year. Connor Griffin's the only dude that I actually feel good about with a bat in his hands in their system. You can also follow us on Twitter, by the way, at 93.7 The Fan. That is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Mike is in Butler. What's up, Mike? Oh, sorry, no Mike. Jay. What's up, Jay?
Hey, Donnie, I'm a lifetime Pirate fan. I've been watching, listening to the Pirates since 1977. I'm from Newcastle, and I live in Florida now. But, you know, I expected what they got in return is exactly what I expected, all these guys. But I expected them not to get rid of Bednar. I expected them, like you did, Pham, IKF, and some of these other guys. You know, what happened to the Jones or that Casey guy from the Cubs? I mean, we could have gotten those guys. Get rid of Ashcraft or Hunter Barco or some of these, our top pitchers for their top batters. That could have happened. And you throw in Jack or somebody else that maybe will do better somewhere else. But I want to see Cook, and I want to see York, and I want to see Devan. I wanted to see all the Reynolds go. If we didn't get the top prospects like Jones and Casey, I want the Reynolds to go just to see the AAA guys. Maybe they're no better than anybody else, but I just want to see the kids come up. I'd rather root for them. This is a dumpster fire, and it just drives me nuts.
Yeah, Jay, I appreciate the call. I mean, the thing that sucks is that they, you know, they're not even losing young. Like, it would feel a little bit different. You go back to that team in 2010, and okay, they lost 105 games, but they lost with a 22-year-old Andrew McCutchen on the team, a 21-year-old Jose Tabata, 22-year-old Pedro Alvarez. Neil Walker was like 23. They had a bunch of young guys, a lot of youth on those teams, and you could at least pinpoint and circle, okay, you know, they have a nucleus here that they could eventually win with. Just start to build something around them. And they did, to their credit. I mean, Neil Huntington deserves credit for building a team that was one of the best in baseball over a three-year stretch from 13 to 15. But that's all we've gotten. That is all we've gotten over the last 30 years. 50-minute mark on the Fan. That's brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Route 19 in Peters Township. Another point there that Jay brought up that sucks is that it always just feels as if every big name prospect that gets brought up, every potential return that they could have that gets brought up, you know, Owen Casey, I think, was a good example from this deadline. Players like that, they just feel like a pipe dream because the Pirates never make it happen. They are never able to pull off getting a team's top star or really even top five. Think about it. The asking price for David Bednar was a top five prospect. They come away with the number eight and then two throw-ins that probably aren't going to do anything. By the way, 93.7 The Fan, 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA, as well as WAMO 107.3. They are partnering to support Pittsburgh public school students for the school year by providing stuffed backpacks for the Pittsburgh for PPS Backpack Drive presented by Target Freight Management. You can support by purchasing backpacks or dropping off at a location near you, including Piata Italian Street Food in Robinson and Northway Mall. For details, visit 937thefan.com to drop off your donation. Brought to you by GBU Life, Life Insurance, Annuities, and Member Benefits since 1892. Joel, let's get one or two more in here. Scott in the South Hills. What's up, Scott?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. You know, today was just one more day of Bob Nutting telling Western Pennsylvania, flipping them the finger and saying, I don't care what you want. I just want my money, and that's it. And I'll just hang up and listen.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be a day that helps any of the people that already hate his guts, that's for sure. Preston in Bellevue. What's up, Preston?
Hey, Donnie. I just have a couple points to make. So, you know, when you sign players like Tommy Pham or Andrew Heaney, when you're signing them in the offseason, first of all, they told you they weren't going to try and compete this year because the only guys they did sign were guys like Andrew Heaney, Tommy Pham, Adam Frazier. But then when you sign guys like that, and when the deadline comes around, you trade them. They only have, you know, their contracts are coming to an end at the end of this year. IKF, I think he still had a couple years of control. I'm not sure, but he was another one that you could have moved just as well, and I don't think anybody would have batted an eye. So holding on to those two guys, especially Pham and Heaney, I just don't understand it whatsoever. It makes no sense to me. And if that's not baffling enough, the one that really, there's two more trades that really do it to me. The Bailey Falter trade, I mean, is that literally just a salary dump? I mean, you there's no reason to trade him. Now you don't have a left-handed starter that you can really throw in your rotation. Well, I mean, you still have Heaney, but other than Andrew Heaney, you know, you're really left for naught without another left-handed starter. And you didn't get anything back for him worth of anything. And then to not get a top 100 prospect for the hottest reliever in all of baseball for the last month and a half in David Bednar, that's a fireable offense right there in itself. Not to mention all the other crap we've had to put up with in 6 years of this guy. It's just getting to be too much, Donnie. I mean, and you know, the guy that called before about the whole Bob Nutting, and you know, Nutting's probably happy with the deadline. Mm-hmm. You know what? I mean, at some point there has to be a middle ground, right? I mean, Bob Nutting can be cheap, right? I don't think that the Tampa Bay Rays owners are making a ton of money hand over fist, and they still, you know, compete. I don't think that the Milwaukee Brewers owners are going crazy diving in money, and they still compete. Like, Bob Nutting can we still find a way, or somebody in the executive office can find a way where Bob Nutting can still be kind of cheap and we can still put a product on the field where we're not just coming to the deadline day and asking what just happened? Because that's exactly what I'm saying to myself. What did I just watch, Donnie?
Yeah, Preston, I appreciate the call. You can also throw IKF into that group with Heaney and Pham, because he was somebody that was on an expiring deal. And you brought up the Bednar trade, where they were unable to get even a top five prospect in another team's system. And if you want to compare it to the Mason Miller trade that happened earlier in the day, I mean, that was an absolute haul that the Athletics got back from the Padres, where you include Miller and one of their starting pitchers. So that, you know, for at least the time being, I think had Pirates fans thinking, okay, so they could at least get something pretty decent for David Bednar, and I don't feel as if they got something pretty decent. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Great weather in Pittsburgh on Friday. Sunny temperatures in the lower 80s. Similar weather out here in Greensburg and in Latrobe. You have the Friday Night Lights practice at Latrobe Memorial Stadium, part of one of the best parts of training camp every year. That is tomorrow night. We'll get into that with Jeff Hathorn at 8 o'clock, with Alan Saunders at 9 o'clock. But coming up next, Hunter Homestek from 24/7 Fighting will join the show. He'll talk about some exciting events that they have coming up just down the road. So that happens here in just a few minutes. We are live from Sports and Social Steel City at Live Casino on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.